When fashion designer Kate Spade died last week of an apparent suicide, there was an outpouring of grief from Twitter to the front page of the New York Times. Buying a Kate Spade handbag was a coming-of-age ritual for a generation of American women, declared the Times. That, journalist Farai Chidea pointed out on Twitter, assumes a generation of a woman could afford an exclusive luxury designer bag. Farai Chidea joins me now by Skype from New York to tell us more about what is embedded in that and other coverage. Farai, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, you pointed out on Twitter that the Times dedicated three reporters, front page story, two page spread to Kate Spade. Now, why call that out?
Well, you know, I'm someone who does a lot of research on journalism. I've been a journalist for 27 years, and I've also spent time doing academic research on journalism. And the reality is that American media is fragmenting. I don't think that's a shock to anyone. But part of the reason that I sort of argued in this Twitter thread I did that people don't relate to the news is when you try to universalize something that's just not really universal. I grew up in a working class black neighborhood in Baltimore. My parents were highly educated, but after a divorce, we didn't have a lot of money. And my mom made some of our clothes. We went to Sears and JCPenney. We went to the secondhand store. And part of what my mother taught me, because like all girls, I wanted nice things. She was like, nice things don't define you. Nice things don't make you happy. You can have nice things if you want, but they are not a mark of your self-worth. So by the time I became a young woman, not only could I not afford a lot of designer this and that, I had actually reached the place where I didn't want it. So there's a question of who can even afford, when today the average weekly pre-tax income for an American working woman is less than $800 a week. And a Kate Spade bag costs $200 to $400. So what you're talking about is that, again, that's pre-tax income. You're talking about a minimum of a quarter of the average salary of a working woman in a week. And so let's just be realistic.
Well, so, as the Times said, buying a Kate Spade bag was a coming-of-age ritual for a generation of young women. Obviously, not for you.
Not for me. And again, I'm very respectful of the entrepreneurship of Kate Spade. And I was gutted by her death, as I am by people who choose to take their life. And of course, we have also lost Anthony Bourdain. But I still felt it was important to call this out, because what it signals to some people is this article is not written for you, or this news is not written for you. And that's a luxury that American journalism can't afford.
So there's a big assumption of universality, you said earlier. Is anything right. universal in American or global culture that a newspaper can safely write about?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that when you talk about, you know, unfortunately, the suicide of Kate Spade and also of Anthony Bourdain, you can say Americans' lives have been touched by suicide. Whether it's someone you know personally or that your friends have lost someone to suicide, you could make a generalization like that, because life or death issues are essentially universal because it's part of the human experience. The main thing is there's nothing wrong with universality when it's truly universal, but when a kind of fake universal approach is posited, that then excludes members of the audience. And what I saw a lot in responses to this Twitter thread, which became viral, was people in the center of the country saying, oh, that's, you know, why the media doesn't understand us. Like they're talking about what New Yorkers like. Why should the taste of New Yorkers be something that we assume everyone has? And again, Kate Spade bags were not just New York. But my main thing was that this was an A1 story. This was not a story that was only in the style section. This was considered front page news. The point of this is not about Kate Spade or Kate Spade bags or the New York Times. It's that I really believe the news industry now has to be very careful about how we cultivate a broad audience, because the American news industry is really stretched to have a broad audience because people are fragmenting to ideologically based publications, age-based publications, and news entities. And if we want there to be a commons of the news as something that connects across race, class, culture, then we have to actually acknowledge that we write for the commons. And if we're not writing for the commons, let's just say that, but we can't have it both ways.
It also speaks to another phenomenon or recent movement of the news business. Of course, they have to monetize everything. And you could argue that Kate Spade, even if people didn't own her bags, she's a brand. She's a brand that people know. Do you think that might have been part of the motivation for the Times to try and draw in as many readers with just a name that felt familiar?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing a Kate Spade piece or running it on the A1. My question was more about the framing. I think that what I'm really calling for is for journalists who deliver a mainstream news product designed to at least theoretically be consumed by anyone. And the New York Times in a December memo said that it has 130 million monthly unique readers, you know, people from around the world. So if you're dealing with an audience that big and that heterogeneous, just don't pretend that everyone in it is the same. If some of news is the commons, we have to make sure that it's welcoming to everyone and that we have a place for everyone. And seemingly insignificant social cues actually do bring people into the orbit of paying attention to the news or push them out. If you imply that your audience, everyone fits into one bucket or the other, that then makes people feel excluded. And it's, I think, critical to our mission as journalists to really consider who we invite to the table for content.
Farai Chidea, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Farai Chidea, she's a journalist and journalism program officer at the Ford Foundation.